Hello, and welcome to Temporal Culture War, where we dig into what the hell was going on in America in the early 2000s while we watch one of television history's most maligned properties, Star Trek Enterprise. I'm Clayton Ashley.
And I am always, and will always be. Wow, I really tried to. Hi, I'm Maddie. Also, and I'm here.
Doing all
as
right.
As well. Wow. I'm doing awesome today. I'm feeling normal and good.
Before I forget, it is the week of episode 22 of Star Trek Enterprise. I have listed here still Oasis, but that's not the name. It's Vox Sala. It aired back in May 1st of 2002.
Yeah. It's May Day.
I'm just realizing, do we get a reason why it's called Vox Sala? Sola?
Well, it is, that's Latin for lone voice is the best I can figure.
Oh.
Like solo, you know?
You know, in a lot of ways, this feels like an old Trek, and that's a very old Trek kind of title.
Yeah, this feels very throwbacky to me in a way that I mostly liked.
Yeah. We'll say that. You can look forward to us discussing what is a weirdly good episode of Enterprise that didn't rely on Shran or Phlox, really.
Yeah, I will say we will take our conversation about that episode, and we're going to wrap it in wet saran wrap.
And snot.
And we're going to put it in the back half of the episode where we will locate it later.
Definitely the wettest episode of Enterprise. The most moist.
This is a wet, snotty episode of Enterprise.
But was May 1st, 2002? I can't say. I didn't check the weather. But the music was hot and not really changing. So I'm not going to talk about most of it except way down here at number 8. Because there's a couple things actually that had popped up high. They jumped like 14 or 15 slots to really get up there. And so number 8 is The Middle by Jimmy Eat World.
Ooh. Oh, that's right. Off of Bleed American, I believe, was the name of the album it was supposed to have before the Fateful Tuesday. I think it was supposed to, like, I think it came out. There are better Jimmy Eat World historians than me. Because I was not a big Jimmy fan.
Yeah, I can't say I was.
But I know that the album, which is called Bleed American, was released on July 24th, 2001.
Uh-huh.
And it was re-released under the name Jimmy Eat World following the September 11th attacks.
Oof. I knew there was like movies that got recut, television shows and stuff. I didn't even consider like an album might, but Bleed American, I suppose. I mean,
yeah, it's like the two music things that are always to hand for me are that they renamed Bleed American Jimmy Eat World, and that the Strokes album that came out around this time, I can't remember which one it was. I think it was This Is It, but don't correct me. I'm probably wrong, but I know that New York, the song New York City Cops was not issued on the American version of the record. We all loved Da Cops and all they had done for us on that beautiful cloudless Tuesday. But, you know, the lyric in the song is New York City Cops, they ain't too smart. And that was too much for the record.
That was, that was it. Okay.
So it got taken off the American version of that record. And you had to buy it in Europe to get the cool lyrics about how dumb the cops are.
And you're only in the Europe cut. Wow, I didn't.
Which I will say, history has borne out that the boys Julian, Fabrizio, Nick, and Albert Hammond Jr.
were all
correct about the New York City cops and how they are not
so prescient.
So prescient, the Strokes.
Stacking up there right under Jimmy is Eminem with Without Me. It was just Eminem.
Yeah, that was is that off his second record?
I was going to say, I think this is actually kind of early in his career, but, you know.
I feel like that's like, it's so funny because I feel like for me, it is from, that's from The Eminem Show, which is his fourth album.
Oh, wow, okay. I'm completely wrong.
I feel like to me, like, this was like there's the Slim Shady LP and there's the Marshall Mathers LP, and that is Eminem's discography to me. And I think since then he's had something like 75 albums. So
I know. I was going to say those are the ones I could answer in a trivia if it came down to it. And then he was also in a Chrysler commercial about Detroit. I remember that.
Yeah. Well, because he loves it. He loves Detroit.
Loves Detroit. And then, you know, skipping down to 11 to 13, I imagine these ones will have more staying power. But Hot in Here by Nelly.
Great song.
Rainy Days, Mary J. Blige is coming back.
Pretty good song.
With Ja Rule. And Addictive by Truth Hurts featuring Rakim. All of those hopping up double digits to get here to nearly the top 10. I'm sure we'll see them again. But we can discuss them when they're actually top 10.
Yeah, I will not even think about them. I will wrap my thoughts about them in a big snotty pile of bubble wrap.
to become one with
a big planet full of snotty bubble wrap.
Yeah. also note this, just in the music area, I thought this was interesting. Coachella just happened.
Wow.
April 27th to 28th. I thought I'd just say what some of the headliners were. It featured The Chemical Brothers, The Prodigy, Cake, Foo Fighters, Jack Johnson, Queens of the Stone Age, The Strokes, The Vines, and Belle and Sebastian.
I gotta say, that's a pretty good Coachella lineup.
It's a good Coachella, and I think what's interesting is how much you might see a very similar lineup about now at some of these festivals.
Yeah. I feel like we're sort of like, this is the thing about a lot of culture, right, is that we're locked in, and we don't allow new culture to be made, not really.
There's a bit of a prism or a crystallization of some parts of culture. It's also, we talk about like a lot of movie stars are way older. We're not getting any young new movie star. Like, yeah, we're locking stuff in.
I was talking to a friend of mine today who is in the biz of the business of show, peripherally. And he was telling me that he's a writer, and he was telling me his manager was telling him not to write anything for that was like teenager based because it is not a lucrative market in terms of scripts being bought because there are no famous young actors, which is depressing to think about. It's almost, Clayton, it's almost like we took culture and we wrapped it in wet saran wrap
to preserve it. It preserves things. It's not television.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing wrapped in saran wrap and goo. Was the listings, so I'm not going to get into those. We're up against the same. Enterprise is still pretty much doing not great. I mean, I have to know,
did we? There's a new segment on the show that I'm sort of developing, which is, did we beat the vile Dawson?
The vile Dawson. This week?
Did we destroy Dawson and his
the assassination
creek?
Of the vile Dawson's Creek by the cowardly Star Trek Enterprise? We did beat them. No worries.
Okay,
and I'm saying we because I'm on.
We are here. Yeah, at this point, I'm sort of like, I feel about the show Star Trek Enterprise the same way I feel about like the New York Knicks, and that I say
you gotta.
We, and I understand I'm not a member of the organization. Like I'm not hired by Phil Dolan. Mm-mm. I don't play for the Knicks. It'd be the wrong league for me to be in the first place. But I understand all those things. But when I see my sons take the floor on them, I feel a connection. And I'll say we won. We beat the vile Dawson.
We beat the vile Dawson's Creek.
And his horrid stinking creek.
Yes. Rating 3.4 for Star Trek. Woo!
Yeah, baby!
Second worst, but the worst was Dawson's Creek at 2.6.
That's right, you stinking bitch. You fetid bastard, paddling down your creek like some sort of infected pussy Charybdis. You piece of shit. I hate you.
You don't have anything wrapped in saran wrap and snot.
No, I'll never wrap anything about your show in wet goo and place it on a shelf for me to discuss later and gently place you among the goo, your goo folk. Dawson? That's how I feel about Dawson. I've never seen an episode of that show.
Aside from the vile Dawson's Creek.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Trebek, around this time, hit his 4,000th episode. So they started a little tournament in his honor.
That's nice.
It started on May 1st. It actually ends and his 4,000th episode happens in 2 weeks from now. But just thought that was nice.
Nice.
A headline at New York Post was Funeral for the Simpsons. Because Simpsons. Matt Groening was kind of grumbling about like, I don't know, maybe the 14th season will be it.
He's
kind of bummy about Futurama being canceled, although Fox is at this point actually saying like it's not canceled yet. I'm just not sure.
Futurama doesn't get canceled for another year or two,
exactly. But he says like the article implies that he's mad they've canceled it, even though they haven't officially.
Oh, interesting.
There's also, we know there's bad blood continually about the voice actors thinking they're not getting paid enough. Yes. They don't get another pay bump until 2004. So this is still like early in the grumbling for that. But
yeah, is this when, what's her name? The lady who played Maud quit?
I think that might have been a couple years earlier, because the last time there was kind of a big shuffling in pay bump.
They killed, killed her in season 11, I believe.
Right. It was like 98.
Spoilers just, for season 11 of The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Which I believe took place, I'm looking at my calendar here.
Yeah, that was like a voice actor.
The birth of Jesus Christ. Yeah.
That was like a voice actor who played Ma just asking for a pay raise, and they're like, you're dead, actually.
You're actually going to be killed by a flying tire.
You're dead now. So yeah, that's, it was also funny to me that they mentioned like they also want to do a movie, but they're not sure creatively how to make that work. Just funny to see this, all this happening, and they're talking about the 14th season.
That's crazy bones.
So, and then the other thing I thought, I think I want to put this in the links for this episode, because just find it kind of interesting. When I Googled around May 1st, 2002, I got an old ABC news broadcast that was just for this day in history. And I, in my work, my former employer would go through old news, local news, national news reports, videos quite often. And there's something very interesting to seeing that like locked in amber news report. I'll just say the thing that
say it's locked in amber, or would you say it was sort of wrapped up?
Wrapped in goo, wrapped in saran wrap. Yes, that's you're right. Right. The headline thing about this, the thing they hype and then it's like the last news story, is about predator drones.
No way.
So that was also to me like, yep, this is 2002.
Yeah. I'm kind of scrubbing through it right now.
There's some stuff about, and I'm always going to get to this in the news section, so I can just kind of flow into that. There was a Kofi Annan of the UN was trying to get a fact-finding mission to the Jenin refugee camp in Israel. I'm sorry, it may be actually in Palestine, because it is
very much Jenin is in Gaza, I believe.
In Gaza, because there had just been a battle there, Battle of Jenin.
Sorry, it's in the West Bank. I'm incorrect.
And then also known as the Jenin Massacre, because again, it was a refugee camp that the Israel army just rolled into. There was intense fighting. And then this UN was trying to do a fact-finding mission here a couple weeks later, and then they just cancel it because Israel is being obstinate about it. So that's where that is.
Well, I'm sure if we continue to let them do whatever they want for 20 more years.
Basically. And also in the news, a judge rips the attorneys in a case against Osama Awadallah.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Because of, he was like an associate, acquaintance, it seemed like, of one of the Pentagon hijackers. And maybe another one. And he, when he was interviewed by the FBI, he said, yeah, I knew this guy like a little bit, but he didn't talk about another guy that he apparently did know enough to write about in like a class assignment at some point.
Yeah.
And so when he goes to a grand jury, after being held for like almost a month just to be a witness in a grand jury trial, then after he says some things in the grand jury trial, they get him on perjury charges. Because again, he didn't mention that he may have had like forgot he had an acquaintance with one of the other hijackers. And the judge is like, this is bullshit. I'm throwing out these charges. But this trial is not done. They like appeal it. Some other judges think it was okay, and it doesn't get fully like resolved until 2006. But like, I'm thinking a little bit about that, about the West Wing episode, actually.
Oh,
there's
big
similarities there.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit about our Star Trek episode last week.
Yeah. But man, that's crazy. I'm watching this news report about the Predator drone now, and there's a guy like talking about the drone on ABC News, and then you see him. They use the film from the drone of him with the camera, which is an interesting directorial choice, but also, man, this is just straight up propaganda for the U.S. military.
Yep.
Which, by the way, I am immune to.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work on me. I'm actually immune to propaganda. There's like a beautiful shot of a drone flying into the sunset.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Oh, my God. And then there's a bit about a teaser about Yao Ming.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 I actually saw
China's
a news story about
tallest export. Thanks, guys.
Wow. Okay.
Thanks, Peter Jennings. That's crazy. Yeah, that'll be in the show notes. That's buck wild.
It's an interesting little time capsule. But let's wrap up with some movies.
Take me to the movies.
I'll just say this: I'm excited for you to talk about next week, because there is a quite a movie next week. But I can't talk about it
I'm rubbing my hands together.
Because it comes out on Friday. But I can talk about Life or Something Like It. It got to number four, Angelina Jolie. She's a local news anchor of Seattle. And a homeless guy, Tony Shalhoub, tells her that she is going to die in a week.
Oh, yeah.
So she has to change her life.
Or something like it.
Something like it.
I can't believe that's... Is that the one where she is in a crazy blonde wig?
Yes. And it's a bit of the, like, plot is that she is known for her blonde hair.
Crazy. Sorry.
I mean, apparently it's an all right movie. People on the YouTube comments loved it. I don't know.
Now, this is a guy, the guy who directed this.
Oh, I was going to say.
As a motherfucker with a filmography.
Yes. That was, to me, the most interesting thing about this one.
Yeah.
Do you have it open? It's DJ.
I do. His name is Stephen Herrick.
Oh, I'm thinking of a different one. Whoops. Okay.
Yeah, it's okay. This is Stephen Herrick, who directed... It's a crazy... This is a very big filmography, but just stick with me here. The 1986 film Critters, which is a crazy movie.
Oh, whoa. Whoa.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. The first Mighty Ducks movie. The 93 Three Musketeers. Mr. Holland's Opus. 101 Dalmatians, 96. 98 Holy Man. Wait. 2001's movie, the movie Rockstar with Mark Wahlberg. 2002, right. Life or Something Like It. 2005, Man of the House. 2008, Picture This. A direct-to-video film in 2009 called Dead Like Me, Life After Death, which I assume is from the show. The 2011 film, then it goes way off the rails. And then we're getting fucking like WWE star Paul Levesque's The Chaperone in 2011. And then a movie in 2023 that I watched for some reason. I feel like with my niece and nephew, called Dog Gone. Based on the book, The Dog Gone, A Lost Pet's Extraordinary Journey and the Family Who Brought Him Home. About a dog named Gonker. And I will never forget this as long as I live. Sorry to go through this guy's entire filmography, but it was a Rob Lowe direct-to-Netflix joint.
Oh my God.
It's just crazy to watch this guy's career go from, like, yeah, he's directing The Mighty Ducks and Mr. Holland's Opus, which is a piece of shit, but I think it won some awards.
This is actually
to the Rob Lowe Netflix film about a dog named Gonker.
Gonker.
A real life dog named Gonker.
Damn. I thought I had an interesting filmography coming up, but it's nothing, honestly, compared to that.
Yeah, apparently Life or Something Like It killed this guy's career.
I think that it was the live action 101 Dalmatians.
Yeah, it was the 96 what's her name? Glenn Close.
Right,
Jeff Daniels joint.
Wow. Okay.
Sorry, they made Roger in the 101 Dalmatians live action remake. They made him a video game designer.
What?
Instead of a composer.
Composer. I was going to say he's on the piano.
Crazy. How is he singing Cruella de Vil into a fucking PlayStation controller? I was going to say,
what's the cute little thing with the dog on the piano going to be? Like him on the keyboard while he's trying to type? Computer keyboard.
Oh, I need to, man. These of days.
Another movie. I was actually, I wanted to see, maybe we could do a new thing.
Ooh.
Here on Temporal Culture War.
Okay.
I am going to get the trailer to this one because I didn't rewatch it before this.
Okay.
And I want us to both do a live reaction to the trailer of our number five movie this week.
Okay. Take me to it.
I'm loading up the I have to watch an ad. So get through the ad, I guess.
I too am watching an ad. What's your ad for? Mine's for stickermule.com.
Fantastic Four.
Which I never use anymore because the owner weird fascist.
I was going to say, is that the sticker company with the fascist or the other sticker company?
I was talking to somebody about this film the other day.
All right, why? You ready?
I'm watching.
All right.
I started it. Oh my God, the way it starts is incredible. I love CGI.
So we're going to say the title when the title comes up. You'll have to figure it out.
So we got some people like on a space station with flashlights.
Yeah, sci-fi.
There's like sci-fi. There's like a fridge with like some fridge.
Who's in that fridge? I couldn't quite make them out.
Who knows? We got like a military man in a beret. We've got, oh God, that's the... there's a man in a hockey mask.
Is
in
that
space.
Jason?
Is that Jason?
Is Jason in space?
Jason. They should have called this one Spacin'.
Space. So.
Wow, this is some real... Why they send so many young, hot people to space is what I'd like to know. Is there in-universe... Oh my God, they're like chasing Jason around a space station, and they're like... They've got like high-tech body armor and like a rifle.
The editing in this trailer, which I know is probably not exactly how it is edited in the movie, is I hate it.
Yeah.
But it's also so much 2002. Yeah.
Oh my God, he comes up.
These zooms.
Yo,
God.
Jason's back and his hockey mask is gone and it's been replaced with like a crazy,
it's so dumb.
Fucking evil gets. An upgrade, and he's got like a fucking body armor thing, and Drowning Pool's Bodies is playing. This rips. He's got a machete. Jason X.
Oh my God. Yeah, it does improve dramatically when you listen to the music. I hate how the future Jason looks, but
he really looks quite bad.
So
I feel like they these days they would not spoil what he looks like.
Yeah, you're right. That would have been like a big deal.
And there'd be like, you know, like a comic book resources article with like a picture of a toy that somebody spotted of what Jason's new outfit looks like.
I just miss the time when a series could run for so long that they're like, what do we do next? What do we do next? And it's just like Jason in space.
I feel like with Jason, they got intentionally campy with it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like I remember watching... Which is the one where he goes to New York? That's eighth. That's Friday the 13th, part 8. Jason Takes Man. It's so weird that it was not Friday the 13th X. That is Jason X.
Yeah, or Friday the 13th in space.
That's so wild because like Friday the 13th, part 8 is Jason Takes Manhattan. That's 1989. And it takes them another 11 years to get to 10.
Yeah, it was like, wait a minute.
Also, number nine is there was... the 1993 one is Jason Goes to Hell, the final Friday.
Nope. Well, okay, I guess it was the final Friday because they don't put Friday in the name of this one. That's canon.
Yeah, so that's why, man, the poster for this rips. It's like the two Jasons. It's like early Jason and upgraded Jason, and he split down the middle in half, and then there's like a lady screaming.
Yeah,
I need to know, is there an in-canon explanation for why... Is the space station full of hot teenagers?
Oh, man, I'm looking at the Wikipedia plot. Held at Crystal Lake Research Facility.
No! That's funny.
Okay, that's in the year funny. 2455.
Oh, it's in the future.
It's a field trip. On a field trip to Earth.
No, this totally fucking makes sense to me then.
They're young, hot students.
Yep. They are not researchers. This is the far future.
Wow. I'm impressed there was a in story.
You know what? I respect that.
Maybe this?
Maybe. This is... Oh, baby.
Mm.
Oh, maybe. I for sure.
Because you've... Have you seen it? Because I haven't. Definitely.
The only Jason film I've ever seen is Jason... Is Friday the 14th, the 13th, part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan.
Okay, perfect. Okay. Well, stay tuned.
Stay tuned for us watching Jason X and having... And me probably having the absolute time of my fucking life. Compared to our last bonus episode where I had to watch The West Wing and almost took my own life on air. Yeah.
We got one more movie to talk about.
What's that?
It only got to number 15. It is The Salton Sea.
I'm familiar with the location.
The geographical location, yes. But this is not that. This is a movie starring Val Kilmer.
Okay.
And he is, the trailer was really hard to understand, so I had to go look for an explanation of what the hell the movie is about, but it's he's a trumpet player and his wife dies, there's murdered. And so he's seeking revenge by infiltrating, I don't know, the underworld of drug addicts and thugs. It's about tweakers. I heard the word, they talk about tweakers a lot in the trailer. It kind of seems to imply that like a bunch of drug addicts are going to try to like pull off a heist. It's got a little bit of that like Danny Boyle Trainspotting,
yeah,
like grungy, grimy. I'm trying to think of some other comparisons to it, maybe SLC punk.
Yeah, but it's about a sink lake.
I don't know. I think one of them says the Salton Sea at some point. I think he said maybe his wife died there. I don't know.
It's one of those lakes that is it's technically a lake, I think, and it has no inlet or outlet.
Right, it's just dries.
Just a sink lake. Sorry, there's a notorious drug dealer named Pooh Bear in this film.
I wonder is that some other cast members.
Wow, this is a great cast.
I was going to say, it's a pretty good cast, actually. Vincent D'Onofrio, Luis Guzman.
Sorry, Pooh Bear is Vincent
Glenn
D'Onofrio.
Plummer.
Oh. It's got fucking Peter Sarsgaard. Beatty Wong is here? All right.
So it's
Danny
like,
Trejo is Little Bill.
Oh, Danny Trejo.
But he's not big. Big Bill is a different character played by somebody else. I hope he's really big.
The director is...
I'm sorry, oh. Clayton. I'm so sorry. I have to interrupt you right now.
Go for it.
I have to. Danny Trejo is Little Bill. Big Bill is played by Josh Todd, who you might remember as the frontman of Buckcherry.
Wait a minute. How many films did he do?
I don't know. He's the last surviving member of Buckcherry that I also know.
Well, that's good.
I don't, wild. What's his, sorry, he's also in a band called Slamhound. Christ almighty.
Great.
Oh God, everything was so cool back in the day. Slamhound, Chaos Personified, 1995. I don't see, he appears as the character Hutch in the film The Still Life.
Okay.
He's got a small part in the film Triple X. He's also in the 2008 thriller Eagle Eye, the Shia LaBeouf joint. He's in the film The New Guy, which is a DJ Qualls, Eliza Dushku joint that I've never even fucking heard of. Zooey Deschanel, Lyle Lovett, and of course, Josh Todd from Buckcherry.
So I'm trying to figure out, because you said a couple things that piqued my interest. Connected to the director. Who I thought had an interesting filmography. His name is DJ Caruso.
Yeah.
He did Disturbia.
Sure.
So different. Shia LaBeouf. He also directed Eagle Eye. So I wonder if there's a connection
He must love the Buckcherry Man.
He did not do Triple X. But in 2017, he did do Triple X Return of Xander Cage.
And he didn't bring back the Buckcherry guy?
I guess not.
If any movie was set up for him to bring for the Buckcherry man to be in.
It's just, there's a very weird Venn diagram here where he did do Eagle Eye.
Yeah.
And he did do this movie. Didn't do Triple X, but did do the sequel. Did another Shia LaBeouf movie. That's all I got
for movies,
for culture and movies, and the day of May 1st, 2002.
Wow, the movies, everybody! That was enriching for me personally.
Thanks.
Anyways, now I think it's time to open up this beautiful.
Yeah, let me get my Saran wrap out.
Wet Saran wrap package. Let me I gotta unwrap it.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow. Anyways, let's go to the episode zone. Okay. So this one's got a weird cold open. It's a little bit of a teaser. A little teaser on this one.
Yeah.
There's a you see the Enterprise from the outside, and it's got another little shippy connected to it. It's like, hey, what's that? There's another ship.
There's another ship?
And you hear some voiceover, or you hear a voice saying, oh, man, we did a bad job with the Kree Tassins. And there's all these weird aliens. Weird
they're
aliens.
They're kind of anal, a little bit.
They're a little anal. They're leaving the ship. They seem mad. And everyone's trying to talk to them, especially Hoshi with their little communicator. And they're mad about something. And they're saying, you eat like you mate. Or you mate like you eat, or something like that. And they can't figure out why they're so mad, and they want to leave, and they get into the airlock, and they go. But as they're leaving, Clayton, the camera zooms in. And you see a beautifully rendered CGI creature that looks like they spent upwards of 10 to 11 minutes really rendering that sucker.
Yeah.
It's sort of like goop across the airlock to the Enterprise, and it slips on in right before the door closes. What was that, you say to yourself? Too bad, you don't know. It's been a long time getting from there to here. Okay, And that's
I didn't, for some reason, I didn't like take my notes in a Google Doc this time. Mm-hmm. I just wrote on a piece of paper and I just wrote Space Goop.
Space Goop.
I was excited for a Space Goop episode, and I will say I knew it was a Space Goop episode because of the thumbnail.
The thumbnail is
my favorite thumbnail in this entire series.
You emailed it to me. I was like on the bus to the beach yesterday, and you emailed me like, you still good to record tomorrow, and just sent me the screenshot from Paramount Plus. And it is just, it's beautiful.
It's art. It's so good.
Could you describe it to the people?
So our man, Archer, seems to have gotten himself in a sticky situation.
I'll say.
And it looks like he's like hanging a little bit by his chin between some nasty strands of gigantic boogers. I don't know how to describe it. It's goopy.
It looks like cum has gone bad.
It's not good. It's whitish. Beige.
It looks like hard semen.
There is some dripping off of his chin. He is making an anguished face, like he's going, I'm covered in goop. It's just, it's perfect.
Yeah, it's an incredible piece of work. The Memory Alpha screenshot is like Tucker asleep in it.
Someone at Paramount thought, this is how we get people to watch this episode. And they're right.
People loved goo, and they called the writer of this episode Fred Decker. And they said, Fred, we got Fred on the horn. Give me that hard cum. Make it wet. Wet hard cum.
I need Archer covered in cum. Stat.
I got the call. So anyways, everyone goes back to normal. You know, the angry boys are gone. And Hoshi is like, oh man, I really fucked up. I was trying to translate this language. I did a poor job. And T'Pol? Fuck. Clayton, how do you say your name?
Somebody said it's supposed to be for topology. So T'Pol is how you remember it.
Thank you so much.
Someone blue skied that to me. Thank you.
T'Pol. Topology herself. What? Topology herself says.
Topology herself.
You know, it's her name is T'Pol. Topology, because I owe her an apology for mispronouncing.
Yeah.
T'Pol, however, she's like, yeah, you should feel pretty bad, actually. And Hoshi's like, you're trying to make me feel bad? And she's like, no, I'm just saying you should learn from your mistakes, you dumb fuck. it's actually a really mean conversation, but it does, I will say, means this episode, Clayton, sound the alarm, this episode passes the Bechdel test.
Oh!
Anyways, they're like, maybe next time you'll get it right. Foreshadowing. You know, Tucker shows up. Hoshi's like, do you hear that noise? I hear this noise. And Tucker's like, I don't hear shit. She's like, there's like static or something. I don't know. And he's like, I'll take a look later. Mm-hmm. And then he goes, and he goes over to Paul, and he's like, how's Archer doing? And she's like, do not talk to him. He's in a shitty mood. And Tucker's like, I'll take my chances. I don't know why. He goes in, and Archer's like, he's acting really pissy, I think, because of, you know, what just happened. Mm-hmm, and he's like, there's going to be prime rib with horseradish. And he's like, no. Oh. And Tucker's like, I'll watch water polo with you.
Water polo. What? And Archer, Stanford.
And Archer's like, woo! Ah! Stanford versus Texas, baby. And he pops in the tape, freshly transmitted from Earth. The
fucking VHS tape. It looks like.
The quality on this thing is so bad.
I was like worried that they brought it up here and that was it. We weren't going to like get anything more about water polo, because we had talked about this earlier about how they just forget that was his character trait,
set it up like once or twice, then never engaged with it ever again. Yeah. So
I was pretty excited about this, to be honest.
Yeah. I was excited about water polo lore to get added to it. Anyways, back in the quarters of Archer, Porthos, our good friend, who we always forget is on the show because they don't want to pay to have the dog on all the time.
Yeah.
Is like asleep on the bed, and there's a weird noise. He barks at it. And then of course, we see the web creature, whatever it is.
No.
And it's in the It's going through like the conduit or ductwork or whatever the fuck it is. Like he's, you know, somewhere in the walls.
Yeah.
And we flash the kitchen, and they're like and in there, Reed and Hoshi and Travis are eating dinner or whatever, and they're like, "What happened? What went wrong?" They can't figure it out. Travis is like, "It's tonight. We're watching the film The Wages of Fear." Which I've never heard of. Do you know the film?
Oh my God. Actually, weird coincidence. I think Wages of Fear is actually the same story as Sorcerer, which I brought up.
Yeah, you were talking about watching Sorcerer yesterday, and I was watching this, and they were describing the film. I've never seen Sorcerer or The Wages of Fear, but I know what Sorcerer is. I know what it's about. And they were describing Wages of Fear later in the episode. I was like, is that Sorcerer?
It is. No, it's a French version of Sorcerer, basically, even though Sorcerer's a little French. But I would say this is probably a great movie, The Wages of Fear.
Yeah.
I can say this, Sorcerer is an incredible movie, so either way, you're good.
Yeah, what was in the air last night? You were watching this. I was watching a different Friedkin. Anyways, Reed's like, I don't go to the movies. And Travis is like, you're going to like it. There's explosions. And Reed's like, count me in, baby. I love when things explode. That's my character trait.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
And Reed turns to Hoshi. He's like, you gonna come? Like, those subtitles fly by pretty fast. And she's like, fuck you, and leaves.
I don't want to translate. Mad.
And then she's like going down the corridor, and she hears that noise. She's like really keen, her ears, right? Mm-hmm. And she leans her head to like the bulkhead, and then the camera pans over, and you see who's this, but our friend the goo. Space goo. And she's like, I don't know what that is. And she walks away. Go to commercial. Act two of the show. After that, we come back from commercial.
Did we get our red shirts introduced yet?
They're coming in now.
Oh.
I want to talk about them because you see two crewmen, this guy named Rostov and this lady named Kelly, her last name. Kelly, by the way, is like a 24-year-old Renee Lee Goldsberry.
Uh-huh.
Of Broadway fame, of Hamilton and Girls 5 Eva fame. Tony winner. Renee Lee's Goldsberry, but she's like very, very, she's like a baby here. It's crazy.
I saw this scene. I was just like, your smoke too tough. Your swag too different. They kill you.
Truly. They are flirting so much. It's so funny. But like, basically they do like horror movie stuff where like the guy Rostov like goes off to go do something. And she's like, Rostov, where'd you go? Is that you making that cute noise?
Yeah.
But no, it is some monster. And he is, you know. He disappears. Anyways, Tucker and Archer are watching the polo match. And they're like, they're eating pretzels out of like a metal tray.
Yeah. They've got some half-finished beers. They're broing out.
And they're like talking about water polo. We see the rest of the crew watching the movie. They're watching Wages of Fear.
Everything seems all right. I hope nothing's going wrong in the background.
Nothing's going wrong in the background. But like... Reed sees like something's weird on the screen. Like there's like it's showing like the bridge and the sick bay on the screen of the
movie weird theater. Interference.
And Reed's like, what's with this interference? And he's like, hey, maintenance, go see what's going on there. Oh, sorry. So this is when we see the guy Rostov. He's like looking around with his flashlight and he sees some cum on the floor, and he goes to talking to his little walkie-talkie, and then he gets grabbed by the cum.
Every once in a while it's goopy, but every once in a while it has tentacles. So important.
Yeah, I don't know where the tentacles come from. the guy basically gets taken by the cum, and we don't know what happens to him.
We don't know.
Kelly goes to the area where he went. I think it's like a cargo bay of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
And she sees the guy sort of like wrapped up in like so much conversation about that Mary J. Blige song we're going to talk about next week. We saw it. We see Rostov enveloped in sticky saran wrap. She calls Archer, who gets interrupted at his water polo match watching. And she's like, hey, there's like some sort of cum monster down here.
Yeah.
Come check this out. And then she gets cut off. And they're like, well, shit.
Hmm.
The cum monster got her. And they run down. And they run out. So Archer and Reed and Tucker... and some unnamed security guy with a huge rifle.
Yeah.
Go to the cargo bay, and they got their guns out.
They kill you.
And they
see... I don't know. This is just one of those moments where I always think about it, because this time there's actually like a consequence. Why is the captain doing security?
Because... who knows? But yeah, at this point, like, I'm so thrilled because this feels like an old Trek to me.
Yes.
It feels like Next Gen doing an old Trek episode in the sort of like, oh, we're doing like a fun updated version of like that kind of episode. There's not like a huge political point being made or whatever, which is fine. Like, I don't need that to be in every episode of Star Trek as much as I like it in my Star Trek. But like, I don't know, it just feels like a pretty well-written episode.
Yeah.
Where like there's stuff that happens that is interesting and there's like callbacks, things are set up and then resolved.
Yes, yes.
it resembles an episode of television, which is incredible to me.
A bit of like Star Trek's version of Monster of the Week.
Yeah, very much so. So the Archer and Co. head down to the cargo bay. And
it seems like a bad call. It's in the cast. I don't know. I'm just saying.
And they see Rostov.
I guess they only have like 20 people on this ship.
Yeah.
So.
We see Rostov and Kelly, our red shirts, sort of wrapped up in the Saran wrap. The guy Rostov is like, get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, he does like the horror movie, like, save yourself. I will also like at this point to point out that it looks like Clayton, have you ever seen the 1993 film Super Mario Brothers?
Oh yes,
it looks like the fungus.
Fantastic cyberpunk dystopian film.
A movie that I love so much, and I own it on DVD because I talked about it so much one year that my wife bought it for me for Christmas.
Oh.
Anyways,
no, fantastic movie.
It truly, like, unironically, I think it rocks, and I love it.
Yeah, I'm not joking. It's good. Yeah, it's a good movie.
I would never joke about this film, but anyways, it looks like the fungus, which I, of course, implore our listeners to listen to or to watch that movie and of course, trust the fungus.
The, like, sentient slime in that movie, isn't it? Like, the primordial goop? Yeah.
The primordial goop, that is in fact, the king.
If you don't look into this, yeah. Yes, exactly.
Spoilers for 1983, Super Mario Brothers.
I was going to describe it as, like, it's almost like a really haphazard spider web that they're kind of trapped in somehow because they get like suspended up in it. But if that spider web was just like extremely irregular and goopy and drippy and
yeah, and also there were some like more like viney looking components to it, so it could like really wrap up a person in a way that looks pretty painful.
Yes.
Anyways, the goop starts sending out some really awesome CGI tendrils at everybody.
That's good.
And everybody gets grabbed by them in some order. They're all running away. Whatever.
Malcolm
gets away at the last second. And he slams the door on one of the tentacles and it pops off. And he's like,
right, that's how it. Okay.
Well, that sucks, and I hate that. So we basically get to Paul. Topology. Mm-hmm. To Paul Reed and Hoshi are like, hey, Phlox, can you take a look at this? And we get Phlox in the fucking suit from the Michael Crichton.
I was gonna say Andromeda Strain.
Yeah, he looks. He's
or
in
Contagion?
The Andromeda.
I was like, which one are you going for?
He's in the Andromeda Strain suit.
Yes.
Like, yes. Or he's got like the tentacle that slammed off the door in like a bath of cum and like what looks like one of those things that you use to do like paint rollers.
Or like dissections. I think that's kind of the trays.
Okay, I think it's like a cool paint roller thing.
Fine.
What you want.
I'll say this one I wrote down. I agree with you that most of the goo looks like cum. Mm-hmm. In this scene, though, I was reminded of our milky white robot boy, Ridley Scott.
Yeah, it's very, we're in the Ridley zone a little bit here.
Getting some milky robot goo.
God, Ridley Scott loves it when there's milk in the robot.
I can't blame him.
I know it's coolant. I went to engineering school. I had to go to the lab and I had to use the CNC machine. And yeah, the fucking coolant does kind of look like that. And you're always spraying it on the shit you're working on, like with old CNC machines. I understand. Yeah. It is not cum. It's not milk. It's coolant. I understand that.
Please don't write it.
I understand that. But when I see Ian Holm split wide open and he's full of milk, it doesn't look like coolant, guys.
No.
It looks like robot milk.
They drink it like out of a carton. They recharge.
Also, speaking of robots, earlier in this episode when Hoshi was like, man, I just can't crack this translation. She's like looking at the translator and she just I paused it and looked. Oh. She's looking at like a PDA and all that's on it are a bunch of numbers. And I'm like, are you reading that? Are you in the Matrix, Hoshi?
Okay. Yeah. I've always wondered how she does it. And
are you aboard the Nebuchadnezzar? Anyways, Phlox is doing like a little autopsy thing of the, or dissection of the tentacle. And he's like, hey, this thing seems, judging by this tentacle, this thing seems smart.
Yeah.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Mm. Its emissions seem to be like math equations or a language or something, according to Sato. And she's like, because like he's making like the thing he was making like noises. And she's like, it has the patterns of language.
And this is interesting because like I did think that this was going to mostly be about her translating. What are they called? They're not the Cardassians. They're the
They are called the Cretassins.
The Cretassins.
From the from the planet Cretassa, as we all know.
And I think there might have been a short scene where they're like, oh no, this, or maybe this comes up, but they're like, we need to contact them because maybe they know what the hell this thing is.
Yeah, that happens later, yeah.
It's okay. Because there is this thing where it's like, you need to figure out how to talk to them so we can just like ask them what the hell this is. And this suddenly starts to be like, well, maybe there's something else to translate here.
Yeah, maybe there's a different lone voice. So back in the cargo bay, everybody's all wrapped up. Archer and Tucker and the guy Ross are awake talking and everybody else is asleep. And they all start like talking and they are like reading each other's minds a little bit.
Uh-huh.
It's cool. Tucker is like, hey, he like talks about water polo with water polo knowledge. And Archer's like, how'd you know that? And he's like, I don't. I thought that was a cool actual little way of writing this in a way that was fun and interesting.
It's also props to them for acting well gooped in this scene.
They are well and truly gooped.
Like Archer's trying to give like a big dramatic pep talk at one point.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can't give up because once you give up, the game is lost. But, you know, while he's doing this, cum is dripping from his chin. It's just...
he is really, truly covered in cum.
Quite the scene.
Reed and his boys come flying in shooting. They're shooting. And it seems to not help.
Yeah. No. it hurts them. They start screaming, right?
Yeah, like it's working on the creature, but it's also hurting all the boys. And Phlox figures it out. He's like, all the guys have been linked together mentally somehow, and they can feel the same pain as the creature. So T'Pol is like, okay, Hoshi, your dumb idea that this thing can be talked to. We'll do that. So Reed like rigs up like a force field to keep the monster sort of contained to the cargo bay.
This is growing. They're like, oh no, we don't want it to like get anywhere else. And
yeah. So Hoshi starts working on like translating the language, but she's having a hard time. And she's like, hey, T'Pol, you think math is the same as language, right? Can you help me? And T'Pol's like, okay, we'll squash the beef.
It was a little interesting. I mean, we thought a great scene in an earlier episode, the two of them.
Yeah.
And it kind of felt like that was forgotten when T'Pol was an asshole earlier on. But then here they get to a point where they start to work together a bit about like, well, I don't fully understand how to work this like almost mathematical language. And T'Pol's like, some people consider math a language. And so they start helping. And
yeah, I feel like, I mean, this is the nature of like episodic television, the way it used to be, which was like, it would air out of order. Or like there was not like as a clear timeline for people's relationships to evolve in the way that we expect television to go now. So on the bridge, Travis is there and the Cretassins call and the captain is speaking perfect English and he's like, I figured it out. No problem. It was not hard to learn.
It's very, this was interesting.
I accessed your databanks, you dumb ape.
Yeah. And like Travis has kind of actually been in this episode a little bit more than usual, which we note because of how often he just like disappears. And he gets to solve kind of this first translation problem or more like misinterpretation why were they saying that you eat like you mate?
The whole thing is that they saw that everyone was eating in public, which they think is it's taboo on Cretassa to eat in front of another person. Like the mouth is considered like an erotic thing.
Yeah. I thought it was funny how they're like,
which like
we're just eating and it's like, don't you eat? And there's like, well, yeah,
not in private, in front
of people.
I mean, listen, here's the thing. I actually kind of understand this. It is as arbitrary. This is actually a nice little moment of aliens being alien because
it is
as arbitrary as like, yeah, like we use our mouths for sex, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's part of sex is your mouth. So opening that bad boy. How is that any different than waving your penis around in the mess hall, Clayton.
Yeah, and
please put it away. We're getting complaints from HR.
Exactly. And you just consider, Clayton, even on this planet, how different, how many like orifices like overlap in terms of their uses. And of course, aliens would be massively different, more so. So there should be like tons of little misconceptions like this, or misinterpretations. And I actually, I agree. I liked how this was actually not a big mistranslation error. It was more just like culturally, we think that's weird.
Yeah. I also love the, while we're here, the Cretaceans design is so bizarre.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They kind of look like the Predator.
Yes.
But they also kind of look like Cardassians. And they also have like patches of like purple skin that's like under their skin.
It is. They definitely put the effort into these guys, which they don't always.
They are truly bizarre to look at. So Travis is like, okay. The guy was like, I'll talk to you if you apologize. Travis.
Yeah,
like,
basically.
Travis apologized. Captain's like, fine, I'll tell you where this creature's homeworld is. And he's like, okay,
cool.
Great. We'll go there, I guess. Hoshi figures out the language, and they go to the cargo bay and they start doing like close encounters, like doon, 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 a little bit.
There's like a little B plot here. After the tentacle dissection, and while Malcolm is wanting to build a force field to contain it, he's like, I need to test the tentacle to see how powerful the force field is. And Phlox is like, is that going to hurt it? And he's like, well, yeah, I'm trying to see like how much power I need so it doesn't get through. And Phlox is like, I can't let you do that. This thing shows every evidence of being itself a sentient life form.
Yes, I'm sorry, I did.
So we have like a little mini ethical debate here. And I was like, what's this about? I'm curious, like, why is this here? Is it going to be talked about later? And it does kind of, because then Malcolm is like, oh, Grumble, I guess I'll find a less invasive way to test this thing. And so, he does get it running. So we have this scene, the shield's running. It's like between them and the tentacles. And Hoshi's standing there doing the keytar.
And they're like, oh, like everyone's very like, oh, like Phlox is like, I will not let you hurt this thing. It's sentient, whatever.
Yeah, it's really
interesting. We have
to
communicate with it.
I know you're security, but in the doctor's office, I'm in charge. So you can't do shit.
Hoshi's like, can you let my boys go? And the creature is like, here is coordinates. And like, well, they're like, well, we have the coordinates for the home planet. And then I think DePaul is like, or Hoshi even maybe is like, these are like exact latitude and longitude.
Yeah. Interesting. We joke about it being like close encounters. The actual sound is very much just like you hearing like a interference on a microphone, just like a duh, like a low frequency. And I love that also on like the other end of the spectrum of like aliens being aliens. Like, it's very weird. They're basically talking in binary.
Yeah. It's very weird. It sounds almost like Morse code or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really liked how weird this was too. Cause Hoshi's translation things are always so like, okay, she eventually figures out how to use the translator and that's kind of it. Whereas both of these things were actual like realistic figuring out how to translate something, how to understand someone, which is more than just translating the language, understand their culture. So there's a lot of good things in this vis-a-vis the language stuff.
Yeah, there's a bunch in this episode too about like all languages having context and things that you have to solve for, like the Cretaceans, like all their like their language is like insanely tonal, so it's really easy to offend them. Big ups to Fred Decker. I'm like looking at what the fuck else he wrote. The Andorian incident.
Hey, maybe it's not
wrote,
just.
And he wrote the episode Sleeping Dogs, which Strand. I don't
well.
Remember. Which one was that?
You don't win them
all. Oh, that's the one where they're all sleepy.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Fred, you're on notice. They get the coordinates, and then the creature lets everybody go. Phlox is like, don't worry, everyone's feeling better. They go to the life form's homeworld and they release the creature out of like it's a little box. It's a little small guy again.
Yeah.
And they release it and it kind of goes and joins. It's like they land in like a little clearing, but they're surrounded completely by it.
Yeah.
More of it.
Yes.
And Hoshi's like, I don't get it. And T'Pol is like, no. It's all one big creature.
Yes.
It's like one. This was like a piece of the whole that had been accidentally separated. And that's why it was freaking out.
And it didn't really know any other way to communicate than to just like absorb something into its.
Yes. So it was like trying to make friends with everybody. And like, well, that's crazy. And then Phlox opens up the little box with the piece of the tentacle in it. And the tentacle also squirts over and joins the big the big clearing of goo.
Yeah.
And then the shuttle pod takes off. And as you see, the whole planet is this thing. Like a big mushroom or something.
It's so good.
It's
really cool. So yeah, if you don't know, there are on Earth.
Earth is where we live.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have massive fungal colonies that are one organism that live under like a under hills or mountains or things.
Yeah.
There's also famously spruce trees on like an entire hillside or area is like one organism that just keeps shooting up underground another. So this idea of like a mass organism is cool, but I think it's also such good sci-fi here is the implication like, okay, why is there one single uniform on this planet that's maybe almost a little like electronic? And I'm like, this could be like a gray goo kind of situation. That's just like, this is its ultimate result. There's a lot of fun just stuff to think about, which is cool with this kind of sci-fi. It didn't need to make a big point. It didn't make it like a political connection, but it's just kind of cool stuff to think about, which I think Star Trek should provide.
It reminded me a lot of the founder species from DS9.
Mm.
If you've watched, they are individual creatures, but they have to like culturally, it's very important for them to like be in like the goo people that Odo is one of. It is like important for them to be like, in the collective, which is like they go back to their home planet and they all exist as one big goo together.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very similar sort of like, hey, did you know society can look a lot of different ways? Which is the sort of like the cool thing about science fiction generally and Star Trek specifically is the world does not have to be the way that it is now. There are many, many ways to think about how society is constructed, how a person can look or be, etc., etc. And this episode feels almost like they found it under a couch or something and decided to shoot it. Like, just I don't know.
Yeah.
Where this fucking came, because it also is like I love the Shran episodes, but they feel very much like a Star Trek Enterprise episode.
Interesting.
That is like the best version of this kind of show or this like kind of prequel. It's like the best, absolute best version of it. And it is massively enhanced by Jeffrey Combs.
Yeah. But like,
this episode felt like
good Star Trek.
Oh, like, you know, B plus episode of Next Gen or something.
Yeah.
Like it just kind of out of nowhere.
Everything's just kind of hitting the mark that you would want. There's not really a true weak link in it. Like a lot of semi good Enterprise episodes are like last week's. So it's like, that's not bad. It's just like, meh, it's just kind of nothing incredible.
My only real problem with this episode was the CGI, and that's not their fault.
And to a degree, I'm like, this is one of those things where I don't know if in those, of course, it would be cool if they did real tentacles and got real like Sam Raimi with it. But I can forgive this CGI a bit because of how weird it is.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of shots where like they were like shooting around it, like you like someone's like legs would get tangled up, and then you'd see them like get like pulled down, and the camera would not show the tentacles. And I'm like, that's actually a really good choice.
Yes,
to show less of it. But like, if that's the case, just like whip a rope around this person's legs and give me a really quick shot of that. Like there's no reason to give me the CGI. And then there's like at the end, the being's planet is like a 100% CGI environment.
Yeah.
And it looks like they're in the Nick Arcade a little bit.
I was going to say, or like some weird Windows screensaver from 1995.
Like, yeah, but like they're in it. So it's like, to me, my mind goes to Nick Arcade.
Yeah.
If you recall the game show Nick Arcade, Clayton.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, of course you do. You work in games. You know about the Nick Arcade. I'm sure all of you guys are sitting around talking about the Nick Arcade all day.
I was bitter about that show because that was before we were allowed to have a video game console in my house. I had to go to friends' houses and play them.
Well, if you were in the Nick Arcade, you wouldn't have to go into that's a
true.
House if I was... the video game would come to you. Anyways, so that's the episode of the show. It was pretty good. It feels weird for me to... right before we recorded today, I was getting lunch with my friend who's in town, and I was like, I gotta go. I gotta cut off lunch. I gotta go home and watch this piece of shit show that I hate so much. And I was sitting here like, I'm not even mad.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Fred Decker. And
I wonder if I can look forward to the next one. Probably not. But
what's next week? Enterprise Vox Sola is what we're watching now. That's episode 22. What do you think? I'm looking. You know what? I think this one might be okay. We might be into a period of it being okay.
Did they finally figure it out here at the end of season one?
All I know was when I look at the Memory Alpha, the photo that comes up is my friend Trip Tucker, and he's wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
Oh, okay, okay. I am excited to figure out why that is. Let's leave on an optimistic note for once with this show.
For once.
You might look forward to another good episode on this Temporal Culture War, a show we do here for free, but also we'll give you some bonus episodes on Patreon if you give us a couple bucks. Mm-hmm. Think about that.
This will be out next Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, if you're listening, if it's Tuesday, my new book is out. It comes out today. It's called Simplicity. It is available at any bookstore, and you could just buy it. I'm doing book tour events, MattyLobchansky.com/tour, Queens, Brooklyn, and Rhode Island this week, and then Boston, Chicago, Minneapolis, and Philadelphia next week. Also, I just want to shout out Canelli, who I know listens to the show, and hit a bunch of home runs for my softball team the other day. Thank you, Canelli.
Good job, Canelli.
They're great. They're very nice and great at softball.
Appreciate it. Think about water polo, though. Consider water polo.
Have you considered water polo, Canelli?
It's not just a bunch of people splashing around in a pool.
No. It's so much more than that. It's a point man. There's a fit where the guy is like, I never actually really watched water polo.
Me
and there's
neither.
The guy like getting the ball up the fucking court, and he's just kind of got it on his nose like a seal while he's like swimming full speed.
They mention like the pool is so deep no one can touch the bottom. I'm like, oh wow, that's kind of hard actually. Now that I think about
their feet are always going. I call it to pool.
And on that, I'm Clayton Ashley.
And I was the whole time Maddie Lomchansky.
Let's go.
And as always, let's go. Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.